You may have seen this gentleman's face a couple weeks ago. He is now championing our older adult community, our Joy Connect, and I believe there's a luncheon happening today. And Dave Broom, he maybe shares a little bit about his life, but he has been a pastor for a significant amount of time, and he and I got to grab coffee early on, and I have been so encouraged by what God is doing in his life. And so Dave is going to begin our series of this pray, watch, step, because it begins with prayer. If we really believe there is a God at work, what is our role in this process? We believe prayer is the work, and we watch as we trust God's at work. So let me pray for us as Dave will lead us in launching this series. God, you are so good. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in our community. Thank you for Dave's heart and his passion to now lead us as we explore what it means to pray more fully to you. For your glory, we pray, and the joy in this beautiful journey. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Well, Dave just shared with you, I love golf. And I received an email a week ago from Vitense Golfland. And they said, would you please come and be a part of making a world record? And I thought, wow, I'd like that. That'd be kind of fun. Is it Guinness? Guinness World Book of Records or whatever it is? And they said that our driving ranges are going to have people driving at 10 o'clock on the button, and everyone is going to hit a ball right on the button at 10 o'clock. And we're going to be doing it simultaneously with thousands of people around the world. And while I was praying this morning, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you should use that as an illustration about prayer. And I wrestled with that a little bit, but the thought came to me while I was praying, and I believe the Lord really laid on my heart. I do love golf, and I love to preach and teach the Word of God, and I've been doing it for over 50 years now. And you know that I'm different than David, and David's different than Eric, and Eric's different than Graham, and Graham's different than Scott, and we're all different, right? But God never changes. He's the same, and He uses every one of us. So here was my main thought. Now, you can take this, and I hope hopefully the message today will help you. By the way, in preparation for the message today, at least 30 hours condensed down to 3. So you're going to have to listen fast if I can get it in 30 minutes, okay? Because there are over 500 verses on prayer in the Bible. 222 prayers are recorded in the Bible. And I'm going to try to cover prayer in 30 minutes. But here's the illustration. We got down there at Vitense, and during practice, I hit the ball down the middle. I hope I don't hit you guys when I do this. But I'm at Vitense on Thursday, and it was 9:30, and we got to hit a bucket of balls. We got to practice our swinging and hitting the balls. And then it came to a countdown, and I have to remember how Jeff taught me to, you know, keep my arms stiff and make sure I do this right, you know. And so there was a countdown, and he said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we swung and hit the ball, and I'm not going to swing and hit it. But we swung and hit the ball, and, you know, my thought was, this seems so silly. And I know you were thinking the exact same thing, weren't you? So silly. But you know what? God used it in my life to remind me that, you know, I'm just one person in the body of Christ of millions. And someone said recently, Ravi Zacharias said there might be a billion who have believed in Christ over the years. I'm just one. You're just one. And we're just a small part of the body of Christ. And yet, we're part of God's world record, which is much more important than a golf club and a golf ball and thousands of people hitting a stupid golf ball, right? And so we need to think how important prayer is. And when David and I were talking last week, one of my most heartfelt burdens is for the men. You know, we men need to be the spiritual leaders in our homes, in our church, in our community, in our world. And probably the most important part of us being the leaders, and by the way, ladies, you don't have to tune me out because we need the ladies. Many people have said the church would be dead today if God hadn't used the ladies. And I know I went to pastor a church in Yerington, Nevada that only had a few men and a lot of ladies. And I had a friend that was pastoring in Reno, Nevada, and he was the only man in a church of 100. So I know that's a problem, but to me, and what I want to share with you today, I don't want it just to be a message on prayer. And I've begged and pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just preach a message. I want it to be something that touches our hearts, and I can't do it. I love that. That's that one that we sang about Jesus and said, come rescue me. I feel like that right this moment. Okay, go to slide 2. Prayer is the work because of God's work and because God is at work. And Jesus said, my Father is always working and I am always working. It's the work. And slide 3. Biblical prayer is about God and our heart-to-heart personal relationship with Him. And I got a couple of quotes I thought would be good. Prayer. It's better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without heart. You get it? The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who is praying. Right? Martin Luther said, I love this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Mother Teresa said, prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself into the hands of God at His direction, at His disposition, and listening to His voice in the depths of our hearts. Bill Bright said, prayer is like spiritual breathing. It's a process of exhaling the impure and inhaling the pure. An exercise in faith that enables you to experience God's love and forgiveness and to walk in the Spirit as a way of life. Look at slide 4. And we're going to Matthew. Oh, by the way, when Brother David asked me if I would do this, I was thrilled. And I'm always thrilled because I love it when God gives me the opportunity to be used of Him. And Jesus said, without me, you can do only a few things, right? Not. Without me, you can do nothing. And so I stand here today as a 78-year-old reworking teenager. And that's why I feel. I still feel like a kid. I still have a heart for God. I still want God to use me. I don't ever plan to totally retire. I've had to slow down, but I don't want to retire. I want to keep being used of God. And I started the message earlier on weeks ago on Psalms, and I began to study the Psalms, and I found this Psalm 5 that was so good, and it's not on the slides because I totally changed it. I sent David a copy of my outline, and then I changed it, and then I changed it. I think I changed it again, because as you're studying the Word of God, The Spirit of God gets a hold of your life. If you're open to God speaking to your heart, He gets a hold of your heart and life. And if you're a pastor and a preacher, there's a message in every point. Well, I discovered that David didn't only pray in Psalm 5, but he prayed in Psalm 3, Psalm 4, Psalm 5, Psalm 6, Psalm 7, Psalm 8, Psalm 9, Psalm 10. He skipped Psalm 11. He prayed in Psalm 12, Psalm 13, Psalm 14, and he went all the way through Psalm 40 and only missed a couple of Psalms that he wasn't praying. Amazing. He prayed and prayed and prayed. In fact, there's 222, I mentioned 222 prayers that are recorded in the Bible. And this is the one that Jesus taught his disciples. But before he actually got into the prayer, and by the way, I'm not going to do like Brother David does. So I do what I do, okay? I love what he does. I love what he does, but I can't do what he does. 78, 35, oh boy, I've been around too long. But look what Jesus said in this. He said, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites were play actors. They put on a show. Don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Not going to expound all that. That's pretty obvious, right? So let's go to the next slide. So then Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the first section we read, Jesus is talking about the professional prayers. And you know, there are people today, Christians today, who are professional prayers. Oftentimes you'll see different religions and things, and people just like to pray. They want to be heard. But Jesus is saying, go into your prayer closet, so to speak. And I don't remember what the name of the movie was. Remember the movie where the lady had a prayer closet, and it was really good, and I really like that. However, Jesus is not talking about, in fact, he's on the mount, right? He's up on the mountain, and he's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, or a good portion of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's speaking to his disciples, and there are all kinds of people around that are listening to him. And Jesus is not teaching them that he didn't say, Peter, James, John, when you're out in the boat and you feel like praying, row to shore, put everything up, go back to your house, go to your prayer closet and pray. But you know, a lot of people think that. People will say, I can't pray unless I'm at home in my prayer closet. Well, I did a little bit of studying on this text. Are we in slide 5? Okay. In the Weiss Expanded, it says, not go into your room. It says, enter into your secret and well-guarded place. And in the Greek Interlinear, it says, enter into the hidden room of you. Man, when I saw that, I thought, thank you, Lord. Because each one of us have a hidden room in the depths of our inner being. It's our heart. It's our spirit. And Jesus said, when you pray, it doesn't have anything to do with really where you are physically, but where you are spiritually. He says, enter into that room. And it's kind of like, there's a verse later on that we're going to go to, but I'm going to allude to it right now. And part of it says, pray for me, that I might speak the words that God wants me to speak. And so I say that in advance. Pray for me that I might speak the words that God wants me to speak. Okay? And so Jesus said, go into your inner heart. Go into that part that communicates with your Heavenly Father. Go into that. Now, when and where can we go into that inner place? Everywhere we are, every moment of every day, any time, we can go in to that inner place. It doesn't matter where we are. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be able to share this truth. And Lord, if this was the only truth that I could share today, God, I pray that you would take this truth of our inner being, that you've put within us, that part of us that communicates with you. I pray that each one here would understand that with their spiritual understanding. And Lord, that they would be excited about the privilege we have of any place, anywhere we are, any time of the day or night, whatever we're going through, we can come to you. We can come to you for ourselves. We can come to you for our families. We can come to you for the body of Christ, the world situations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Before preaching years and years, I never totally understood that. And even as a pastor, sometimes I would feel intimidated to pray public, out loud. Now, don't raise your hands on this. I find out who's sleeping. Don't raise your hands on this. But how many of you have the personality style that really would rather not pray out loud? You're more reserved and more quiet, and you'd really rather not. And if I were to point you out right now and ask you to stand and lead us in prayer, your heart would almost stop beating. Okay? Many of you are like that, right? Okay. And that's okay. Because I felt the same way for years. And then it's like, and I prayed about this message and said, Lord, I feel like you want me to interject praying during this service, not so that I can brag about praying, not so that I can be the big guy, but so that I can just be an instrument in Jesus' hands and let him use me to be an example to you. Next slide. Is that the next slide? Yeah, thank you. Biblical prayer is about God and our heart-to-heart personal relationship with him. If we don't get anything else, praying is about helping us to get to know God, to get to know him more personally. Well, so many even Christians, and you could talk to religious people, Christian people, about prayer, and we're so afraid of praying. But we shouldn't be. Prayer is, well, there's a definition. You got the definitions there? Yeah, there they are. Prayer is a dialogue between God and people. I love this one. Prayer presupposes a belief or a faith in the personality of God, his ability and willingness to hold intercourse with us, his personal control of all things and of all his creatures and all their actions. Prayer. Prayer. Go to that eighth slide. I believe we ought to pray constantly and confidently. Constantly and confidently with our faith in the Lord Jesus. We should, and we're going to read more scriptures on this, but we should learn to pray constantly, all the time. Talk to God. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He wants us to give him all of our cares, anxieties, worries, frustrations, fears. He wants us to bring them all to him, and he wants us to do it in our innermost being, any moment of any day, every day, all the time. Next slide. Paul said in Ephesians 1, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God or knowing God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he's called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And Brother David expounded on that portion of scripture, and we enjoyed that. And Let me ask you a question. How many of you would really like to have God's wisdom? How many of you would really like to know God? I mean, get to know him more. How many of you would really like to do that? Would you really like to do that? Father, you know the hearts of each one of us here. God, I pray that you would give each one of us your wisdom. Give each one of us a sense of your presence in our lives. Right this moment, Lord, I pray that as a result of our time together today, we would each one in this room get to know you more intimately. Lord, what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray for each one of these here. Oh God, speak to our hearts and glorify yourself through our lives, even at this very moment. In Jesus' name. Next slide. John, I love this portion. John says, I write these things. So I get that right? Yeah. Oh, by the way, let me just interject here. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this. I grew up preaching. We didn't even have outlines. We opened the Bible and preached. That's what we did, right? And these kind of projectors and all this stuff. Remember, we had a multilith something and we cranked it to pump out any paperwork. And we had a thing that was up here and it had a glass thing on the top. And the secretary gave me an acetate and I laid it down there. And I'd say, wait a minute, it's not right. She'd come running up here and fix it all up for me. And it would show up there and she'd move that slide thing around. That's what I had. So this is the first time I've ever, in 78 years, done this kind of thing. So forgive me in advance for my fidgeting around here. But back to John. I love this. John says, look at this. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. How many of you believe in the name of the Son of God? You put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you. He says, I write this so that you may know that you have eternal life. I've talked to people and said, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? They say, I don't think you can know that. I said, would you believe it if God told you? Yeah, I go to 1 John 5:13. He said, I write these things so you can know that you have eternal life. I love that. He says, and this is the confidence again that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Wait a minute. Do you know what the word anything means in the Greek? Dave, you're a Greek scholar. What does anything mean in the Greek? Yeah. What do you think anything means in the Greek?
Pretty much anything.
Anything. Wow, I knew y'all were Greek scholars. Anything. Anything according to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we asked of him. Now let me talk to you just a few minutes here on confidence. He's not talking about, I am so confident when I pray. No, he's talking about, I'm so confident in Jesus. My confidence is a Christ confidence, not a self-confidence. You know, I was saved. I was a born-again believer for many years. I was a pastor for many years. And I got out of the pastorate several different times because I didn't have the confidence. I didn't think I could do it. And I would say every time, and I told somebody this morning, every single time I get up to preach, I'm scared to death. I'm sitting down here waiting, and I'm going, because I don't have any self-confidence. Oh, but I have Christ's confidence. I am so thankful that I have the opportunity to be a vessel, just simply a vessel in the hands of an awesome, mighty Creator God who's filled me with his Holy Spirit and who's promised me that he would speak through me. And I'm saying, Lord, do it, Lord, do it, because I can't do it. My confidence can't be in me. And your confidence can't be in your prayers. Your confidence has got to be in the one you're praying to. And I didn't put it in here, but this thought came to my mind. Remember when Jesus was talking about the Pharisee This Pharisee got up and began to pray, "Oh, thou great God, I'm so thankful I'm not like this old sinner over here. I pray and I fast and I do all these wonderful things." Do you know what actually says in the Bible? That the Pharisee prayed to himself. He actually prayed to himself. Well, guess where that's going? And the old repentant sinner down here said, "Oh God," he couldn't even look up to heaven, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "You hear that prayer? That's the one that counted." Because see, the old repentant sinner prayed from his heart. It was a heart prayer. It was not a word prayer. That's okay to use words, but make sure the heart's in it. The heart prayer. So, the next slide. Pray faithfully believing. Faithfully believing that the Lord Jesus is hearing your prayer. Think about that. How many times do we pray? How many times do we pray not really believing? We just pray. Go through the words, go through the motion. What time did I start? Are we getting close? What did you say? Oh. Okay, so pray believing, faithfully believing. So bear with me now. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Thought. If you have quit, given up on prayer, you really haven't given up on prayer. You've given up on God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. No matter what you're going through, don't give up on God. Keep praying. Keep talking to him. He'll bring you through. Hebrews, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Believe him. It's impossible to believe him, for you must. We have to believe that he's God. He's a creator God. He can do anything. He's sovereign God. There's nothing too hard for God, the prophet said. Is anything too hard for God? No, nothing's too hard for God. Slide 13. Pray expectantly, knowingly. Expectantly knowing that your God answers prayer. Expectant. Pray expectant. Pray in the Spirit at all times. He's not talking about speaking in tongues there. He's talking about walking in the Spirit and praying as you're walking in the Spirit. Praying all the time. This evening when we were done with our rehearsal, I went through and I prayed over every single one of these chairs. I prayed and asked God if he would speak to the hearts. Whoever sits here, I don't know who's going to sit here, Lord. But speak to every heart. God, you speak to them. I'll mess up. I'll forget things. I won't do things right. But Lord, your Spirit can touch every single heart and life in here. And I believe that with all my heart. Look at the next slide. And I don't really have much time to cover that. But I'll give it, do I? Okay. Here's Peter, okay? Peter's in prison for the third time. This time it's the death penalty. The Lord got him out the other two times. And while Peter's in prison, the body of Christ that they had at that time, many of them were in the house and they were praying earnestly for Peter. They knew Peter had the death penalty on him because Herod had just killed James and the Jews really liked it. And so Herod thought, "Oh, I like this. I like them liking what I do." And so he's going to have Peter killed. But it was the Passover time, and so he couldn't do it during that time. Well, Herod knew that Peter had gotten out of prison, by an angel. I don't remember the other one, but the disciples were all in prison. They wound up getting out. And so Herod says, "Well, I'll fix him. I'm going to chain a guard on his right side and chain a guard on his left side, and I'm going to put 14 more around him." 16 guards, who all of them have the death penalty on their foreheads if they let a prisoner escape. 16 guards. Now we have this little prayer meeting going on. And I'm not going to give you the whole story. It's in Acts chapter 12. But this prayer meeting is going on, and these people are praying earnestly. And they want to see Peter. He was their leader, and they wanted him out of prison. But they just knew if there was ever an impossible situation, this was it. There is absolutely no hope. Well, lo and behold, Peter gets out. The angel brings him out. Peter thinks he's having a dream. All of a sudden, he realizes it's a real thing. He's out. He's escaped. He's walked through the gates. The chains are gone. And God's done a miracle in his life. And he's knocking at the door. And Rhoda comes to the door. And Peter says, "It's me, Peter." And she goes, "Peter, it's Peter." And she goes running into the house. She forgets to open the door. She says to the prayer meeting, "Hold it, folks. It's Peter. He's at the front door." And right away, somebody says, "You're crazy." It's his angel. It's his spirit. It can't be Peter. There's no way it's Peter. The Bible says they repeated that several times. So several times, Rhoda said, No. It's Peter. I know his voice. It's Peter. He's at the front door." "No, you're crazy." Well, finally, they go to the door to see his spirit. And lo and behold, it was Peter. Wow. Have you ever been through anything in your life that you thought was an impossibility? Whew. Many times. But you know what? With man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. We can trust him. And then one more portion of scripture in Philippians chapter 4. And Paul says, "Always be full of joy." There's that again. "In the Lord, I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do." Remember, the Lord is coming soon. I believe this is one of the secrets to spiritual success. Don't worry about anything. There's that anything again. Instead, pray about, what does everything mean? Everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And his peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. When we're learning to trust the Lord and walk in his Spirit and talk to him, communicate with him, then we experience and others experience through us his love, his joy, his peace, his patience. All those things come automatic, flow through the Holy Spirit, flowing through our lives. And you can tap into that by praying, talking to the Lord. I want to pray, and then I'm going to read one last portion of scripture as a benediction, and the worship team's going to come up and lead us into closing here. Father, you know we had a lot more to share. Just don't have time to do it, Lord. But you're able to share with each one in this room what you believe is most important for each one individually. Oh, Father, I pray that you would share with them exactly what they need. Meet them where they are. Lead them to have a sweeter, more intimate, personal relationship with you, that you might be glorified through our lives, individually and corporately. In your precious and holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And Paul said to the Ephesians, I think is a beautiful benediction. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Glory to him in the church, in Hillcrest Bible Church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.